سيدنا مولانا for putting you under pressure. But the problem having to, they always say, you know, last for the best or best for the last. This time around I'm not too sure if it is applicable. Unfortunately we only have 48 minutes to go through all of that. The Research Council took most of the time. Of course, also some of us had interesting issues to raise. Without waste of time, Mr. Sunmang, I will get you to introduce your team, and then and perhaps what we should do is to introduce them in the course of their work as they respond. That's how we'll get to know as to who they are and what they do. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and committee members, we thank you for affording the NAMC the opportunity to present our 2008-2009 annual report. We will also take this opportunity to briefly present the annual food court review for 2008, as well as the status of statutory measures report for 2008. From the council side, I've got Dr. Mohamed Karan, who is the head of agriculture at the University of Stellenbosch, and it's a very busy period for him, and we are grateful that he could come and join us from the university, and apologize that he couldn't start the session with us, but he's here now and we're happy for that. I also have with me the CEO, Ronald Ramabulana, the acting CFO, Khanya Mahlatsi, and within the NAMC Council, for the tenure of the current council, we've always invited someone from the Department of Agriculture Marketing Unit to join us as observer when we're having council meetings. Usually it's Billy Morokolo, and we found that this has enabled open communication between ourselves and the department. And in that vein, we have with us from the department support staff, Dr. Simpiwe Mangweni, who's worked closely with us through the years, and he's here to support us through this presentation. On that note, Chairperson, I'll ask the CEO to start the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee. In the interest of time, I'll try and move as quickly as possible so that we have enough time to ask questions. The Chairperson has already indicated that today what have been the annual report of the NAMC 2008-2009. However, some of the issues that I will raise are included in the 2008 food cost review, as well as the status of statutory measures report of 2008. We'll be happy to come back and present those documents if required. Just in brief, the Marketing Act of 1996 has four objectives: increasing market access for all market participants, promotion of the efficiency of marketing of agricultural products, optimizing of export earnings, as well as enhancement of the viability of the agricultural sector. Those are the objectives of the NAMC. We have 10 council members. They are listed there. I'm not going to go through the names. We have two main committees, the Human Resources and Remuneration Committee, as well as the Audit Committee, Audit and Risk Committee, and the names of committee members are listed there as well. I've also listed the number of staff members we have within the NAMC, both highlighting senior management staff as well as the rest of the NAMC staff. As you can see, we're a fairly small organization as compared to other state-owned entities. We have four main divisions, agribusiness development, statutory measures, agriculture trust, and marketing community research center. I will highlight, I'll pull out some of the interesting issues that were done through those four divisions in my presentation. The detailed presentation in terms of our performance you'll find in the annual report that we've tabled. I will start with agribusiness development. One of the main programs we run is on export promotion. And the idea being that we need to identify those smallholder or black farmers who are either exporting or export ready and assist them to either increase their exports or try and enter an export market and see how competitive they will be. And in doing that, we have developed a program that is threefold. One, that says that before farmers are able to export, they need to be trained as to how to do that. They need to understand supply chain and logistics, the supply chain as well as logistics. They need to understand contract negotiations. They also need to understand compliance. And we believe that a training program that provides them with that opportunity will go a long way in ensuring that they're able to compete when they enter an export market. We also think that they also need to go and talk to buyers of products overseas who buy those products and see whether those buyers would be interested in purchasing the products rather than just interacting with an exporter in South Africa. So we expose farmers who are either exporting or export ready to those opportunities where we send them to mainly Europe and Asia and participate with buyers of agricultural products. However, we also understand that being trained and being exposed to buyers of products doesn't necessarily mean that you'll be able to export if the quality of the product is not right. So we have developed a small grant program that is funded by the AMC in partnership with COMAC, which is a DFID fund program, to help farmers to be compliant in terms of private standards that are required by the importing countries. We have assisted a number of farmers to go through that program in order for them to achieve the certifications required for them to export their produce. I have listed the results in terms of number of agribusinesses that we have participated in this program in terms of export promotion, and we hope that this program will continue to grow and assist a lot more farmers in over the years. Secondly, we have a program that we call the Agricultural Development Schemes, where our view being that we need to identify those commodities where you have a large number of black producers who can, in a much bigger program, be assisted to grow and be commercial. We have designed, as we speak, two schemes and in the process and implementing two schemes and the process of designing the third one. The first one is grain development scheme that we run in partnership with the private sector, where we assist black farmers who, one, don't have a collateral to at least get input cost insurance for their inputs, initial first preparation, as well as access to some of the implements that are required for them to plant. We also have a red meat project in the Eastern Cape that we assist farmers in understanding why the calving, why the offtake rate in communal area is so low and what is it that you need to do in order to increase the offtake rate. Some of those things have to do with custom feeding and assisting farmers in finishing the animals before they go to auction, as well as identifying other marketing opportunities, either directly through the feedlot or through the auctioning facility, auctioning system that we have. We are working with some of the wine companies and the provincial departments in the Northern Cape and the Free State in developing the wine grape project that you find on the Orange River. And we are designing the scheme with an understanding that we would like to increase the number of black farmers to participate in it because the market currently exists for brandy, wine, and juice grape in that specific area. Thirdly, the third program looks at the training of farmers in what you call agricultural marketing and business management. We have two training courses that we have designed and run with Stellenbosch University and Cornell University, and one is a 5-day business development training workshop for African farmers, not just South African, but farmers from all over Africa. We bring in about 80 agribusinesses to spend a week interacting, developing relations, and understanding how to manage their businesses much better. And we also linked to that have a follow-up program in looking at whether they are applying the knowledge that they gain over that period. We also have designed a course that we call Agribusiness Training Workshop for Women, and this is designed just for South African agricultural agribusinesses, again, with Stellenbosch University and Cornell University, the 3-day training course that we run in Stellenbosch, and bringing your top emerging female agricultural farmers and training them on how to run their business as well. Chair, let me then move the second component of our work is your statutory measures, and one of the things that we do with statutory measures is allow the agricultural industry to collect levies that are used to fund specific activities like research. Part of that goes to fund the ARC, market information, market development, as well as transformation related activities. We on an annual basis continue to increase the volume, the amount of money that we raise that fund those important activities. Last year, the amount of money raised was $222 million. We don't touch a cent of that money, but it goes out there to ensure that the sector is able to fund itself. The guidelines that we've developed indicate that 20% of that money should be spent on transformation-related issues, supporting those farmers that I was just talking about in terms of some of the work that we're doing to assist. We have developed transformation guidelines as to what we mean by transformation, and we ensure that anybody who collects statutory measures adhere to the guidelines that we have developed. For the benefit of members, the Marketing Act provides for six statutory measures. One, it's levies, I've just spoken to that, records and returns, conducting of pools, control of exports, registration and appointment of inspectors. The next two tables will provide the organizations, industries that have one or three or four of those statutory measures. I am not going to go through the list is provided, but you can have an idea that we're about 14 different organizations, 14 different industry groups that collect or have one or three of those statutory measures. As I've indicated, the amount of money that was collected during the 2007-2008 financial year was $222 million. Of that, $70 million went to research, $51 million went to transformation, and $12 million went into consumer education or market development. I thought I should provide this slide that highlights new applications that we have handled after we have published the annual report for your own benefit. One of the functions we perform is we assist the minister to understand what is happening within the agricultural trust. As we all know, when South Africa deregulated, assets that were owned by control boards were moved into what we call industry trusts. As we speak, we have within those industry trusts about $1.4 billion that goes into funding activities that benefit the industry as a whole. I've highlighted the name of the trust as well as the funds that are managed by those specific trusts. We assist the minister in appointing ministerial trustees and reporting to the minister as to what is happening within those trusts. Chair, within our research unit, there are a number of functions we perform. One is we publish what we call the quarterly food price trends, looking at both urban and rural food prices. And we do this on a quarterly basis, and on an annual basis, we produce an annual food cost review that I have that we have provided, and we'll be happy to come back and present that report in detail to the portfolio committee. We also conduct regular investigations into different inputs in the agricultural sector, and we've produced a number of what we call input cost monitoring reports, and we continue to do this on an annual basis. We also have a huge research project that looks into trade-related research. We publish what we call the International Trade Probe on a monthly basis, just to get the South Africans as well as the sector to understand trade-related issues relating to agriculture. This year we published a book looking at China and the impact of our South African-China relationship when it relates to agricultural trade. I've also provided a list of other research programs that we have funded and are supporting. Top of the list, it's a program that we've worked on with the food and wine industry in developing a climate change calculator, where any company, if any company wants to understand its carbon footprint, could use that calculator to calculate that, and it's available for use by anyone within the food and wine industry. But also, indicated a list of other research-related programs that we have funded. I want to spend a little bit of time talking about market development. Last year we funded a program, we supported a program on the promotion of plums in the UK market. And if you look, and I spoke about this the last time I was at this committee, indicating that we were able during the recession to increase the volume of sales of plums by over 47% in the UK as well as in Germany. Following the success of that program, the rest of the fruit kinds have requested that this year South Africa implement a program to promote the rest of the fruit kinds in those two markets. And we think that if we're able to achieve a 20% increase in the volume of sales, that will result in close to over 1 or 2 billion rands more in terms of foreign exchange earnings that comes back into this country. In the next grapefruit season, South Africa will promote grapefruit in Japan. And as you know, Japan is probably the biggest grapefruit market in the world. We export 35% of our grapefruit to Japan. We, in my view, have been selling probably 500,000 cartons more in Japan than we should. However, we will support a grapefruit promotion initiative in Japan. Hopefully that will increase the price of South African grapefruit as compared to the U.S. grapefruit. But I still think that we are exporting a bit more, and we need to do a bit of work in terms of ensuring that we send the right volumes of grapefruit into that market. We have a program where we're trying in South Africa to develop sharing fruit, an understanding of sharing fruit among consumers within the local market, because we don't have a culture of consuming sharing fruit. And if you look at the volumes of sharing fruit being produced, we have a lot of fruit that it's either going for juice or being thrown away simply because we don't have that culture. So we have started a program with the fresh sharing food industry to promote that product within the South African market. The last two slides highlight the statement of financial performance. We receive a grant, parliamentary grant of 24 million, just over 22 million. We have last year raised an additional amount of 1.9 million in terms of other sources of income. So our total budget is 24 million. We earn just over 1.6 million in terms of interest. And we have been working with the Department of Agriculture to argue that marketing is an important function that require proper funding. And that process we hope that will be finalized either early next year or before the end of this year, where a new marketing act for South Africa will probably come in front of the portfolio committee and go to parliament for approval. And if we have a new marketing act that defines marketing properly, arguing for additional funding from Treasury becomes much easier. We didn't have a qualification in our annual report, however, we had an emphasis of matter. And that was on one tender that we had awarded, that was just over 1 million. What happened was we advertised in the two Sunday newspapers, followed proper processes in terms of peer review process, in terms of all the tenders, selected the winning bidder, got council approval before we signed the contract. However, Treasury regulations requires that any tender over 250,000 should be advertised in the government tender bulletins, and we didn't do that. We have subsequently incorporated that in terms of our supply chain policies to ensure that that doesn't happen again. Chairperson, thank you very much. I'm sorry I've gone through this very quickly. I'll be happy to answer any questions that might come.
Thank you, Chairperson and committee members. If there are any questions within the time that we have, we will gladly answer them. And what as chair needs the CEO or the acting CFO or the deputy chair, we will quickly answer.
Members, that gives us an idea of what the National Agricultural Marketing Council has been doing in this past financial year. Any question? Mama Paliso, Mama Buza?
Thank you, Chairperson. Also, thank you for the presentation. Chairperson, in the training, marketing training courses, how is the info communicated to the farmers on the ground? Does the info reach them? And are they also, talking about the emerging farmers, that include also those women farmers who were trained, 30 women who attended the course. From where? Is this happening throughout the country, or is it only a small portion we are talking about here, one province, or is this exercise happening in all provinces? Thank you, Chair.
Mama.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I would like to applaud National Marketing Council for the levies collected. Very good for that. Secondly, a Section 7 committee was established to analyze the status of the beekeeping in South Africa. Can we get a report on that? Secondly, food prices in the rural areas, Ramabulana, back home in Limpopo, food is extremely expensive, more than in the urban areas. The reasons given, I understand, but I think something needs to be done to ease the burden, because some of the people in the rural areas are no longer drinking tea in the morning because of the cost of sugar, tea, and milk. To say, is it not possible for us to go back to the transportation of food by rail? What are you doing about it? And the last one, the quarterly reports that you submitted to the minister. The last report that you submitted, I think it was in January. Can we get the reasons of why are you no longer, January or March, between January and March, why are you no longer, for the past 2 quarters, why didn't you submit the quarterly reports to the minister? It's in your report, but I don't remember the page. Thank you.
Ms. Abram? Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I also want to thank the NAMC for their report and the presentation. Chair, we are spending large sums of money in monitoring food prices. Could you perhaps give us an indication of the amount that was spent during this particular reporting year? And whether the benefits have accrued as a result of your monitoring. Because food prices are still increasing unabated. Last night, 2 liters of milk, 19 rand. In a country place, town of Warden, which is on the N3 highway to Durban, a packet of Mary biscuits, bakers, 9 rand 50. So that is carrying on, and it's in the outlying areas, not where you have the supermarkets, but in the outlying areas, especially, I'm sorry to say, especially those little spaza shops, which have by and large been taken over by foreigners, where prices are extremely high, and that is not all. When it comes to calculating, they load on an extra amount. So whether we are really benefiting as a result of this food price monitoring, whether you believe that some other mechanism has to be put in place or not, because the poor and the vulnerable are bearing the brunt hereof. Second question, Chair. I said earlier that you should take note of the questions that I had put to the ARC. But may I just say here that there's been millions given, for example, to develop an agri-BEE database for emerging farmers. Now, I think that you people have also done something similar. If you could tell us whether there was any liaison with you people, 3 million rand allocated to NAFU. And then there is... there's a base study that was done, but they don't say for what, to a firm called Empower Dex, Pty Limited, 2.725 million. Then there is an amount here of the value adding and portion packing ostrich meat cutting facility in the Grahamstown area, 9.3 million. And so there are many others where millions are being given for something that looks very, very cagey. For example, Camden Bay Investments, 30 Pty Limited in Limpopo, tobacco production and establishment of feedlot for the wholesale market, 9 million rand. A feasibility study on the following industries: red meat, grain, fruit, and agricultural logistics to some grouping called Lemang Agricultural Investment, 5 million rand. I'm just asking whether you people who work in this industry are aware of these and these so-called entities. Of course, I have a sense, you know, a sixth sense of understanding what has happened, but perhaps these entities may be existing, and I don't want to shoot off my mouth when we meet these people at some stage or the other. Thank you very much. Mr. Postman?
Thank you, Chair. I've just got one or two questions. Firstly, on the risk management, I see that the council has also done a production of a research paper on agricultural risk management systems. We know that we are looking at the agricultural management system for South Africa. Let me put it differently. Is the AOS, National Agricultural Marketing Council, working together with other research and committees that work on this program? Because I know, for instance, that Total has made some money available to TAU as well as AgriSA, and they've also conducted a study. Was that incorporated, and when are we going to see a final result on it? I know that the second one was just on research. That most of the research is done through the ARC, but is there any other research done through other organizations, and what are the extent of it? And my last question is just on the liquidation of the control boards. I see that the maize marketing scheme has still not, or is it finalized at this stage? We can maybe just give an indication. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Pretoria.
Chair, thank you very much. I again want to ask a question relating to salaries and bonuses and things like that. Not necessarily implying that things are wrong. I'm just asking a question of putting it on the table to ask whether the figures are not too excessive. I'm specifically referring to performance bonuses. If you look at the performance bonuses paid to non-senior management, out of a total salary bill of basic salaries of 4.2 million, 528,000, so almost a quarter, no, not a quarter, 528,000 was paid as performance bonuses. But when you look at the senior management, I think it's a group of about 8 people, out of a total salary bill of 5 million, more than a million was paid out as performance bonuses. Now, my concern is that performance bonuses are really paid out in exceptional cases of performance beyond the normal. Everybody has a job description, and when you do your job, you do your job. That's what's required of you. It's a little bit worrying if everybody in the senior management except one receives a performance bonus. And this performance bonus is from the top compared to the salary component of the package. It's very high. It's something like 58% of the salary was paid in addition as a performance bonus. And I just want to register that I think it's high. To me, it's too high. So I'll leave it like that. I just want to put it on the table to the institution to have a look at that. We're seeing it continuously in all other institutions as well, that performance bonuses are being paid to augment salaries, whereas your salary is what you're supposed to be getting if you do your job properly. The performance bonus component should really be for the part above that where you perform exceptionally well. And it's almost a good to believe that everybody in the top management performed so well that they justified these kinds of awards. Thank you, sir.
Mahmoud Fada? Okay. Maybe the issue about performance bonuses. We might have to engage on that one together with SCOPA on a bilateral level as a committee, because it is really an issue that is we're not necessarily, you know, dismissive of those. equally here you might wish to set some standards as to whether or not that agency of government has to go this left route or the other one having to go the right route, so that there is consistency at the end of the day. I think that is also one of the major problems, you know, that relates to a situation where people are able to avoid working in silos. So that's the issue that I thought maybe I should just, because it is certainly and consistently coming up quite often. Okay, then let's try and respond to the questions. My last question really, I would have really wished, you know, asked also to perhaps comment on in your relationship with agriculture. It's called what, Agri PE Charter, or Agricultural Charter. What do you call that? Charter Council. That set some processes in motion with reference to transformation in the industry itself, in the sector, so to speak, of our economy. Your typical value chain here is ignored in large instances. To an extent, the relationship between the black farmer and the white farmer only goes and ends at primary production level. Beyond primary production, where really money is made in terms of packaging, in terms of marketing and also exportation of such goods, the black farmer is nowhere to be found. If my information is correct, I wish you, if you could comment on that one. I have a case in point in one farm in Patensi where such a relationship, as I've just demonstrated, exists. Land Affairs provides for the farm for those black farmers who enter into a relationship with experienced white farmers who also happen to have some bit of money to give liquidity to the business. But the relationship literally ends at a point where primary production takes place. If you could comment on that one, I would appreciate it. Thanks.
The first issue was in relation to the training courses. How do these get communicated to the participants as well as the female participants in the course designed for female farmers? What we try as much as possible to work through industry partners we have, because through that process you are able to identify farmers who are producing for the market. So the industry partners that I've highlighted, who are based in specific production areas, assist us one in identifying participants who are able to participate on the courses that we have. That's number one. Number two, there are organizations, more especially in terms of women, like Nozala and the Rural Women Network, who we work with, and we identify participants who could participate. The same applies to the provincial departments of agriculture, who will then identify farmers, who will fill forms and will screen those who are able to take advantage of the courses that we provide in order to ensure that those farmers that we work with, because remember, the farmers we work with in training are the farmers who go to export promotion activities and are the ones who get certification, so that 5-6 years down the line, I'm in a position to say, these 100 farmers who are black, who were able to work with 5 years ago and are now commercial producers who are exporting. So that's how we do that, and we try and identify farmers in that way. The third issue was in relation to the BE Section 7 committee report that we did, I think, about 2 years ago. I would be happy to send the Honourable Member a copy of that report that was sent to the Minister of Approval. So through the office, I will send that through. On food prices, we spend. There was an issue in terms of on food prices that there was an issue in terms of food prices are very high. And one of the reasons is that we're transporting most of our commodities through the road as compared to rail. And I agree with you. I think if you look at the numbers, you find that 10, 15 years ago, we were probably transporting 80% of our grain through rail, and we're probably down to 30%. And that has to have an impact on food prices. There's no doubt about it, more especially when the price of diesel is so high and maintenance of trucks is so high. But the issue is the rail network we have is inefficient. And this is not the problem that started now. We have been in discussion in terms of saying how do you improve the efficiency in terms of the rail network. The Department of Agriculture came up with a report about 4 years ago looking at the agro-logistics strategy. And the argument in that strategy was to say, if it's implemented, we should be able to move most of our commodities by rail and hopefully cut down the price of a lot of your basic commodities like maize, wheat, and some of the food products. So, to me, one thing is if you want to transport food by commodities by rail, implement the agro-logistics strategy. And we haven't been able to do that as a country. And I hope that we will, going forward, be able to be in a position to do that. There was an issue in terms of how much do we spend on monitoring food prices. We spend just over 1 million rands, just around 1.1 million rands a year on that program, looking at both urban and rural food prices. But the most important part of the report, it's not really looking at whether the price of bread in rural areas has gone up by 20% as compared to urban areas. The most important part is to say what is it that we should do as a country to correct the problems we have. If one issue is to say that you are importing 600,000 tons of wheat, argument's sake, on an annual basis, how do you make sure that you reduce that amount? And the policy options that come up of that report are those that we should be implementing if we are to arrest or correct the problem going forward. And I, in most cases, I might be wrong. I'll ask some of my council members to comment. I don't see a lot of the recommendations that come out being implemented. And as long as they don't get implemented, we are not going to arrest the problem we have in terms of high food prices. We might be fairly happy now because the prices are fairly low as compared to 2 years ago. But reality is that 2 years from now, the price will be back to where they were in 2007. And we have a window of opportunity where we could do something about it. And the problem is we're really doing, we're trying, but we're not doing what we should be. Maybe I should stop before I answer other questions and allow my council members to comment on that because it's an important issue. I will continue with the other questions.
I was just because we're going to the contrary, I was reminding to answer about the absence of quarterly reports.
Okay, let me respond to that. We, if you read the annual report, it indicates that when you read the first quarterly report of last year compared to the three last quarterly reports, the way they were written were different. The reason why we picked that up was because the AG started the process of monitoring performance information. And when we looked at the how they monitor performance information and we compared the first quarterly report that we presented, we found that they might not be in a position at the end of the year to properly monitor whether we have performed or not. And as you know, from this year and next year, there will be a bit more vigor in terms of monitoring performance information. So we sat down with the AG and said, how do we change the quarterly report so that they are in line with what they'll be looking at when they monitor performance information this year and next year? And we changed the quarterly reports. The minister received all four quarterly reports. It's just that the first one is different to the other three, and we corrected that. And that's what is said in the annual report. Shall I go through all the there was a question in terms of land bank and agri-BEE funding. One was on the database. We know about the project that was funded and implemented through NAFU. We were not a participant of that project. We have a fairly comprehensive database of black or emerging farmers in South Africa. We also require that any partner we work with who collects statutory measures develop a database of farmers that they work with, so that at least we know who those farmers are, and we would be happy if you require a database to give you. But we're not a participant on that project that NAFU implemented. I don't know about the EmpowerDex, about the EmpowerDex project. I know about EmpowerDex. I also know about the Ostrich project in the Eastern Cape. We didn't participate in any of those projects either. The other companies you mentioned, I have never heard of. There was a question in terms of risk management. The program we were implementing in terms of research management, it's a program we're implementing with Sanlam through the ABC. We have not participated in the project that Dow is running, and this is mainly looking at marketing risk and as well as input cost insurance, designing a new product related to that. That project we have decided that will run through the Agricultural Business Chamber. And the main reason being that it's important that the information is shared among many people so that we are able to influence policy much better. And we hope for that coordination through the ABC. There was a question about research by other institutions. You are correct to say that I think the 70 or 90 million that was used to fund research, probably half of that will have gone to the ARC and the other half will have gone to universities and other local and international research institutions. So in terms of levy money, probably 40-50% of that goes to research through the ARC and the other will go into other research institutions in South Africa as well as international research institutions. There was an issue in terms of the maize scheme. The maize scheme will lapse at the end of this year. There was one case that was outstanding in terms of the maize scheme that has finally been resolved, and money was paid into the scheme. We have prepared a submission that has gone to the minister for approval as to how that money should be managed, and once she has decided, we'll then close the bank accounts and the scheme completely. But it's not going to be renewed when the current term expires. there was a question in terms of bonuses that I will ask my chairperson to respond to. The last question was in terms of the Agri-BEE Charter Council and the fact that when you talk about empowerment and Agri-BEE in agriculture, it's mainly primary production. You don't really hear much in terms of processing, export, and all of those other activities where real money is made. And I think you're right. It's a concern that we share and we have. When you look at most of the work we do, we try to identify those farmers who are producing and who could benefit out of off-farm processing or exporting opportunity, and we expose them to that. Because we also believe that if those partnerships are reached at an off-farm, people will benefit a lot more if they understand the logistics and they enter into partnerships with some of the agricultural exporting or processing companies that currently exist. For argument's sake, we are working hard to develop a program where you have grower exporter farmers in South Africa. Because if you have grower exporter farmers, even though the risks might be higher, but the reality is that people will be able to make a lot more money from the fruit that they export as compared to what they're currently making. We unfortunately don't fit in the Charter Council, and I am not in a position to can comment as to what are some of the issues that are coming out of the council. I know that the council has sit on a number of occasions, but there are people we work with. Hamish probably sits in the council. There are people we work with who sit in the council, and they know our views in terms of how we view Agri-BEE, and we try to push that some of the levy money and trust money that could be used to support Agri-BEE activities does support those activities. I think I've answered all the questions except those two.
I'll ask the deputy chair to just say a word after I finish answering the bonus question. To say a word about the Agri Charter Council, because I know that yesterday we had in a meeting I had with him, we touched on this and what the meaning of the Agri Charter really is vis-a-vis other charters. So I'll just ask him to say a word after I finish. The performance bonuses. As council, I know we spent a lot of time discussing this. You know, in South Africa, we have people like everywhere else, there are contracts that you have to go by when you are reviewing people's contracts. And when we were dealing with this as council, we spent a lot of time looking through people's contracts. And as a consequence, we have hired as council an HR specialist prior after this, so that we could just understand what, without trampling on people's rights, what it is that we can do to align this story of bonuses. I can assure the committee that it wasn't like people have a right, so maybe they have not performed and they're given the bonuses. There's a formula, and I'm not an HR specialist, but we got involved as council to understand this. And because of those formulas, we have now people who are looking through this. When we talk about the one person who doesn't have a bonus here, it was really because we needed to sit down and say, this cannot, even the formula cannot work. And it's a person that, unfortunately, through history, had been put in a job which she just could not do, and we had to work through that with them and try and reassign them other work. So I take the point that the committee is talking about, but we have started addressing that. And I think some of the alignment was because when the NAMC was started, we had people who came from the department mainly. And some of those things are according to how long you stayed
in a place. But further than that, it's also what the ARC has been talking about, where we have a challenge with capacity, which is a national problem. As I'm talking now, because of, again, some of the fact that we just couldn't pay people what they think they deserve, we don't have a CFO now, the CFO that we were with during this time. And I can tell you that that is partly what we had to deal with. And council had just to say, you know what, we think this is, it's not only about budget, this is just what we believe is the right thing to pay someone of your qualifications for the organization that we run, and unfortunately we have to part ways. So, and I think it's a challenge that all organizations are going through right now. I'll ask Mohammed to talk briefly about the AgriTata.
Thank you, Shea. My chairperson is putting me on the spot with a difficult topic. Maybe with your permission, Chair, I just wanted to quick comments on the, before I get to the Agri-Bee, on the issue of the food prices, because this is a serious issue, and I lend my weight to all the appeals for us to look very seriously at what we do about this as opposed to just knowing about it. We've done a lot to know about this, but as from the NMC point of view, there are certain benefits in the work done on food prices that I want to just emphasize, and that is that the NMC has always been more of an advisory than an implementing body. And whilst we are trying to change that, the fact is that there are certain benefits of monitoring food prices. The one is that it creates awareness, and we have seen in the past that simply by creating this awareness, it does retard people's propensity to increase prices. Not sufficiently agreed, but it does have that benefit. The database that we develop does provide evidence of monopolistic behavior in the food chain, and this is where it gets used, and the Competition Commission and other bodies consult us in this regard. And it also allows us to track long-term price trends, which is useful in research and in decision-making. And that's the real purpose for us monitoring food prices. In terms of what we can do, I think this must be an outcome of a proper process, a commission, an investigation of whatever type. And I agree with all the things being said about what we can do in terms of infrastructure, rail, market infrastructure, targeted welfare, and so on, post-harvest losses. The tendency at this stage is always to consider whether we regulate prices or not, even if it is just rural prices. Now, this experience across the world has not been a good one with trying to regulate prices. But again, that matter must and can be deliberated. Again, VAT exemptions is something that we can also expand should we wish. But I think that's enough said about that matter. Another matter, if I could also quickly touch on, is this issue of related to this, of food security. And because I think there's a bit of an anomaly in this debate that is often forgotten, which I wish to bring to the attention of the House, and that is that food security, if you want to encourage food security in a country like ours, the strange thing is people think that if you produce more food, the prices will come down. And in fact, it's a bit of the opposite. If you want to produce more food, you have to increase the price to the producer. If you increase the price to the producer, that means the price will go up if we want to produce more food in South Africa. Now, there's nothing conspiracist about this to say that farmers want higher prices. In fact, it rather elucidates this point that in South Africa, if you have a country that for you to produce more, the price will have to go up, it indicates that you're not spending enough on research and development. And I would like to also lend some weight to the submission of the Agricultural Research Council and the MMC that serious resources be put to research and development, because ultimately it is that investment that will bring down food prices and not a short-term increase in production. The last word on Agri-Bee, this is a rather contentious point, but it's that Agri-Bee, like the other charters as well, suffer from an anomaly and probably an unintended consequence of this in that eventually, whilst Agri-Bee is about the advancement and the empowerment of black entrepreneurs, it ends up as the empowerment of white companies. And again, this is, might be an unintended consequence, but we tend to forget that it was primarily about assisting black entrepreneurs and not about just empowering white companies. And all the consequences of scams and fronting and whatever goes with it was because I think the fundamental purpose of Agri-Bee is lost. And I hope that in our recraft of this, that we will get back to that purpose of promoting black entrepreneurs as opposed to just empowering white companies. I hope that was what you wanted me to say, Chair.
Thank you, Mohammed. It's a very long topic, and we've started discussing it within the NMC. And I think we will share what we're talking about with the department and other stakeholders in an effort to try and find ways of dealing with what the chairperson called is an anomaly about the value chain in agriculture.
I think members, you will agree with me that we certainly have to take a session with the Charter Council on this one. Get them to brief us as to progress that they can account for in relation to practices out there. Whether or not whatever that shall have been set as targets is being achieved. I think to an extent we also need to put in motion a process beyond that goes beyond such, because those targets are set to be achieved. If they are not achieved, it means something is wrong and it must be corrected. I think that's a simple language I would perhaps understand. I see members here are panicking. Obviously, it is lunchtime. And once again, Mrs. Ntsimang and also Mr. Ramabulana, thanks for your presentations. Most welcomed and appreciated. And unfortunately, we had such a short time with yourself, 48 minutes to be precise. Would have loved to be longer than that, a lot longer than that. I see Mrs. Mabuza wants to have a quick bite before we finally say thanks and then
listen,
break
to
for lunch.
I wanted to make a request that we haven't done justice to the presentation of Mr. Ramabulana and his team, especially on this report, Chairperson. And to say, can't we maybe early next year get 2 hours, 3 hours for us to discuss this report with them? Because truly speaking, this report to me is very important, especially that.
Raised on by the
Thank you.